B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, I'm excited to talk to this man. Let's head to the Comcast Business Hotline. Comcast Business, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. I thought he did a tremendous job all season long and still did yesterday, even though we don't have the local in-game coverage anymore on NBC Sports Philadelphia. But Mark Jackson, great stuff always on the pre- and post-game show on NBC. He joins us. Mark, how are you today?
How you doing?
Listen, I've been better, and we're going to be reacting to the game. We've been reacting to it all day, but I can't wait to talk to you about it. You know, you played in the league, so there's a lot that I'm interested to get your opinion on. But first, let's just start your initial thoughts on last night's performance by the Sixers.
You know, I thought the 76ers had a valiant effort, and I'm not big on participation trophies, but I will say this. I seen what I needed to see last night to make me believe we're going to steal one in Miami. I thought we really had a chance to do that, but after what I seen last night, I'm optimistic, and it backed my theory that I really believe we're going to steal one to Miami.
All right, so what is it that would change? Now, I did a 10-minute segment, Mark, on positive, because I'm down. I'm depressed, dude. I'll be honest. Until Joel Embiid comes back, I'm depressed. But I tried doing like 10 minutes of positive talk, and one of the things I mentioned was there's no way they shoot 17% from three in game two. What are other things that you think could change for the Sixers to have a game where they can steal one of Miami in game two?
I agree with you. There's no way from three again. And the other thing they cleaned up is they had so many great possessions of defensive stops that did not finish with ultimately a rebound, which gave Miami a second opportunity at a scoring. 15 offensive rebounds. That wears you down after a while. So with the shooting, and just with the giving up seconds, preventing second chance opportunities, I comfortable, we're going to steal one.
All right, well, that makes me feel a little bit better. Obviously, the big conversation today is Doc Rivers and his decision to start DeAndre Jordan. I can't help but go, I can't blame him. I mean, Paul Reed has 5 fouls in 13 minutes yesterday. Paul Millsap, it doesn't look like he's going to contribute all that much. Charles Bassey only played 5 minutes in garbage time at the end. What would you tell the Sixers fans? Because obviously there's a lot of angry Sixers fans today. What's your message to Sixers fans about the center position until Joel Embiid comes back?
Okay, well, first of all, as Philly fan, as a Philly native myself, born and raised, we can never make our fans happy, no matter what.
That's true.
So that we gotta establish that and understand that and accept it. Now, with that being said, I don't know why the hate with DeAndre Jordan. And I think one thing is because we don't have Drummond, and Drummond was pretty much averaging a double-double in like 15 minutes of play. So they compare him to Drummond. The Drummond say, he's not Drummond. That's true, he's not. But he's a pretty good shot blocker. He is a vertical spacer, and that's so important with James Harden, even though I thought it wasn't utilized yesterday because of Miami's defense. But they can't stop that forever. DeAndre Jordan's going to give it. He's going to bang. He's going to be physical, which you need to be physical versus Miami Heat. You need to be physical. And he's going to give us something. Paul Reed has young legs, energetic. He's going to give us some youth. But as you see with them 5 fouls in a minute, the youth often gets caught with poking its young head out at the unfortunate times it does. But with that being said, we have to understand we have Joel Embiid, the biggest, baddest man on the planet. And when he's not here, you can put anyone in that center position. We're never going to be satisfied with that. So as a fan base, you just have to understand we have to do certain things to keep it afloat until Joel gets there.
Now, what else needs to change, Mark? I was watching you guys on postgame yesterday. I know the coach brought it up, Harden needing to be more aggressive. You know, there's already the talk, should they bring him back, blah, 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 blah. I'm more focused on this series right now. James Harden, 13 field goal attempts to me, when you don't have Joel Embiid is not enough. Now, obviously, Tobias Harris had a huge night, but you need Harden to step up, no?
I think it has to be a mixture of two of the three guys. One of the guys needs to have an average night, and then the other two guys need to have a above average night. Not much, but above average. And last night was Tobias Knight to be above average, and the other two was under par, meaning Maxey and James Harden. So I'm not going to say James needs to have this James. No. If James could just have his average night and Tobias and Mack have above average night, then we win that game. And we win every game going forward. So that's the way I look at it. I know people say, well, James needs to do this because he's James Harden. Yeah, but Maxie and Tobias is not bad themselves. We can't expect using James Harden because that means Tobias and Maxie don't have the opportunity right. to really do what they do. So I think everybody's still thinking of the James Harden that averaged 36 points a game. That's what we need. That's what we want. Yeah, but he was the only guy on that team at that time, respectfully, that could really give an offensive punch. This team has Tobias Harris and Maxie and Sojic. Joel B gets back. It's very important that those guys really contribute and give what they do. So I don't put all the onus on James Harden. I put the onus on Maxie, Tobias, and James Harden, which means two of the three have to have an above-average night while Joel is out, and the other one needs to have an average night, and we're good.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
We're speaking of Mark Jackson on the Comcast Business Hotline. Mark, one of the things that Doc Rivers said yesterday, and I'm really curious to get your opinion on this because you played in the league. When he was asked about DeAndre Jordan and the decision to start him, this was post-game, and then he dropped the line of he's going to start next game whether you like it or not. He did say that during halftime, he asked key players who they would rather have, you know, to come out of the second half to start the center position. Can you walk me through the locker room at halftime, that kind of conversation? He said key players. Was it just James Harden? Was it Harden, Maxie, and Harris? Like, what is that conversation like? Because obviously there's still going to be, you know, I know you like DeAndre Jordan a little bit more than I do, but I'm also not the biggest Paul Reed fan, so like, you know, whatever you throw out there. But what's that conversation like? Who is Doc Rivers talking to decide that who's playing the center position?
Oh, he's talking to Maxie, Tobias, and James Harden. He's not just talking to James Harden. Mm-hmm. James Harden just came here a couple of months ago. These
right.
guys been here and went through wars before James. So that's not ever a mistake that Doc is doing that. So he's talking to those three guys. Hey, man, what's your feel, man? How you like, how you feel? You know, what you think? You like, we should go back to him. You know, he's just putting it out there. He's kind of, and that's one thing that makes Doc such an incredible players coach, that he does things like that. Now, with that being said, the thing that some people knock him for is even though he's like that with his guys, he's also hard as heck on those guys, like a Greg Popovich.
Yes.
Like the way Greg Popovich used to be on Tim Duncan. A lot of coaches don't do that. A lot of coaches are afraid to do that. And I'm going to say that word, afraid. A lot of coaches are afraid to do that, but Doc isn't. That's what makes him special. You know, Doc has been a tremendous coach for years, and I sense irritation on his part because we as Sixers fans, not me, but the Sixers fan base really question his decisions sometimes, and that bothers him. I can sense his irritation a lot. But with that being said, as a player who played in this league, as a player that understands this game and has been in those trenches, I appreciate Doc more than say the fan base does and all the players do.
Well, so, why should it bother him so much that we do question? It's not just fans. It's also media. Obviously, we've seen it, right? He's gone back and forth. You guys listen to the press conferences every day during the post-game show. He's gone back and forth. You brought up Greg Popovich. He had the quote earlier this year saying, would you ask Greg Popovich that question? Yeah, I would, Doc. I would ask Greg Popovich that question when you're blowing large leads and all this kind of stuff. Why does it bother Doc Rivers so much? It's not like it's been perfect, his time here.
Great. You said a lot there. This is really good. So let's say this. Doc is not just a Hall of Fame coach. Doc played in his league.
Mm-hmm.
So Doc recognizes when he loses those leads, he sees it. He sees what we see. And he's not just a coach that, oh my God, I need this coaching job. I need, oh my God, my life. Like, man, I've been playing this league for 100 years.
Yeah.
And I'm coaching this league for 200 years. It hurts him a little more. And when he gets those questions from the fan base, and the, not from fan base, but from the media, which he knows he's going to get, it's ticking him off like it's ticking you off. The difference between him and other coaches is it's ticking him off more because it's hitting him from two parts, from a coach as well as from a former player. So he's really perturbed at what happens too. So it kind of gets to him. And I think when he, like, when he made that Popovich thing, he was like, man, I know I was going to get in here.
Right.
But like, man, they on me hard. They would ask Pop that question. Like, a lot of times as a player, you find things to fuel you. And Doc finds the media fan base to fuel him. Like, man, hey, look, you know, man, like, you know, like I said, I'm out like myself. I always pick somebody in the stands to be ticked off at. And that would help motivate me and thrive me to really come at him. Because of that person I picked in the stands, might have been holding their beer the wrong way.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? He just ticked me off. Somebody's going to get their ass kicked now. So, you know, so like, I think that's why Doc is a little different. Meaning, not saying he's better or worse. I'm just saying he's different with his thinking, maybe. And I think it just irritates him on two fronts, not just as a coach.
All right, so what I got out of you today, Mark, in our 10 minutes together, you're feeling pretty good going into game two. Because I listen, if they don't split in Miami, I do think the series is over with Embiid or not, because I don't see them winning four or five. But you're feeling pretty good that they could pull one out tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Oh, four or five. You mean, listen, yes, I do. You only need four. And let's do it like this. When you're doing it like that, you're not thinking of four. You're thinking of one, the next
right.
one. You know, that's all your mindset is. I really do. Listen, you really can't be mad how that game went yesterday. If you Miami, you kind of scratch your head like, oh, man, that was, man, I didn't expect to go like that. Like, they, you know, they had you well. Like, it burns them a little bit, and they probably scratch their head like, yo, we got to do this better. We have to do this better. It's burning them a lot as well. So I feel good that we're going to steal one in Miami. I really do.
All right, Mark, listen, man, you're making me feel a little bit better. There's a lot to unpack, and we'll be continuing to discuss it. And we're going to continue to watch you on pre- and post-game on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Thanks for taking the time joining me today, Mark.
My pleasure. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. There he is, Mark Jackson, on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.